Ah, great. Okay, so I'm going to talk about some work that just came out last week with Nathaniel, who's already spoken today, Christoph Engler, who's in Durham, a postdoc in Durham, but soon to be faculty at Glasgow. And it's concerning naturalness, and I'll be talking about specifically linear collider physics. But also, shortly after that, in the last couple of days, another paper came out, which is looking at different Higgs decays and different Higgs physics. But it's very complementary to the sort of stuff that we did as well. So if you're going to take the time to look at this, then I'd strongly suggest you also take the time to look at this, because they go very well hand in hand. Okay, so this talk is concerned with naturalness. And so this is a sort of principle or concept or idea that is sort of shaped or characterized, or maybe even in some cases dominated, theoretical particle physics for decades. And I don't really have time to talk about it in much detail, but basically, pragmatically, it comes down to the removal of quadratic divergences, quadratically divergent corrections to the Higgs mass. And there are a variety of models, natural models, that have been proposed. Certainly, in my opinion, one of the most elegant is supersymmetry. And in supersymmetry, there are stock particles which cancel the quadratic divergences. But there's all sorts of other ideas as well, composite Higgs models, extra-dimensional models, technicolor models, and so on and so forth. And these models are all being searched for at the LHC and searched for extremely well. And they're being probed in a very multifaceted way. But one thing that's worth keeping in mind is that we use these models as sort of windows. They sort of frame the naturalness question. We use them as windows onto the naturalness concept, look for the particles you expect in those models, and then try and determine whether or not the weak scale is natural. And that's a very good way of testing naturalness. But is there a sort of another way that we might be able to do that, which sort of sidesteps this step altogether and goes straight from Higgs physics to really asking direct questions about naturalness? And do we really need to commit to specific UV complete models and test them in order to test this concept? So if we stare at this, then one at the sort of the corrections to the Higgs mass, if we have a perturbative model, then we know that one feature which always turns up is some sort of top partner. Top is the guy that's most strongly coupled to the Higgs. His quadratic divergences are largest. So in most natural models, there'll be some sort of top partner. So we can sort of build a really ad hoc naturalness model that should help us explore these ideas and just couple the Higgs to some extra scalars. So if this model is perturbative, that's one assumption. Another assumption is that we're coupling to scalars. We can sort of leave it there. We don't even need to know what the gauge quantum numbers of these top partners are. They could be like stops. They could have color and electroweak charges, or they could even be singlets. And there's plenty of models where, well, not enough models, but there are some models where these guys could be singlets or just electroweak charge. So, for example, twin Higgs models or flip Suzy models, and there's plenty to explore in that area. But so long as we fix the couplings, the sum over the couplings, to be equal to 6 times the square of the top coupling, then we'll remove the quadratic divergences. So, and this is obviously clear for stops because the sum really is 6 times lambda top. So we can explore this sort of effective theory of naturalness and see what happens to Higgs physics without committing to necessarily to the gauge quantum numbers here. But I can choose sort of the most painful experimental scenario, which is if these guys were singlets. Can we still see anything? Well, the first thing to think about is if we go back to the quadratic contributions to the Higgs mass, we usually have top partners who are running in this loop and they're changing the quantum corrections to the Higgs mass. But this isn't just a diagram that gives you the quantum corrections to the Higgs mass. This is really the Higgs self-energy. And this is really a Taylor expansion in P squared, you know, the momentum flowing through this loop. So we always think about, when we're thinking about naturalness, think about the corrections to the Higgs mass. But there are also higher corrections from these sorts of diagrams. For example, a wave function correction. And these have never really been spoken about much in terms of sort of natural theories. And there's a good reason, because these corrections are small. But the question is, are they physical? Can we measure them? Because if we could, then we can really start to probe this natural concept without having to commit too much to specific models. And the answer is that these corrections are physical. So we can take, if we go back to our sort of mock-up natural theory, this theory where we just have some extra scalars which have some mass and are coupled to the Higgs. Before, above the scale of electroweak symmetry breaking, where we're talking about big capital H and not small h, we can just integrate these guys out. And amongst the operators that are generated, one of them is this operator here, a dimension 6 operator. As I said at lunchtime, it's currently my favorite higher dimension operator. So this is a very interesting operator in its own right. There are also other additional corrections, the corrections to the Higgs mass, which is what we wanted in the first place, and maybe corrections to Higgs self-couplings and so on. But these, as I said, we're choosing the most painful scenario where these guys are gauge singlets. So there's really not a huge amount extra that is generated. So if you stare at this for a while, it doesn't look too interesting. It sort of modifies the Higgs, 4 Higgs scattering amplitude. But once we let the Higgs go to the bottom of the scalar potential and get a VeV, it becomes important. So we can see that if we put in a VeV, you know, V plus little h in here, and a root 2 wherever you decide to put it, depending on your conventions, then you can see here that we'll pick up, when that's squared, we'll pick up a VH term. When that's squared, we'll pick up a VH term, and we'll get new contributions to the Higgs wave function renormalization like this. We also still have all the normal standard model operators, so we write down all of their effects, and we have the usual, we get a mass for the W, for example, and the Z, and so on. And we also have a Higgs coupled to the W with this standard coupling. But we need to canonically normalize the Higgs. So whenever we canonically normalize the Higgs, we need to rescale it by some factor to cancel this off. And that rescaling enters here, and it changes the relationship between the coupling of the Higgs to the W and the W mass that you have in the standard model. So it is physical. The next P squared term in the Higgs two-point function, or the self-energy, really is physical, and it leads to corrections to Higgs couplings. In this case, it's a universal correction to the coupling to vectors and to fermions, and it's of order whatever this loop factor is, times V squared over M squared. However, naturalness dictates that these top partners shouldn't be too far from the weak scale. So it's not really a great idea just to integrate them out and write down the effective operators. You should do a full one-loop calculation. When you do that, it turns out that these corrections enter via counter terms. So if we want the Higgs propagator to have a residue at MH and to have a pole at MH and a residue of 1, you need to include the wave function renormalization in your counter terms. And then that shows up in various places as just a counter term. So, for example, this is a diagram for Higgs-associated production. If you care about these things, it's a one-loop correction, so there'll be some finite piece, and there'll be some logs. So here's the finite piece, and here's the logs, but it doesn't really matter what. It's not so important what the functional form is. And if we impose naturalness, we see that we get a relationship with lambda top as well, so we can estimate, we can see what size these guys will be. So where could we measure this? Well, as said many times today, a linear collider is a good candidate because it offers really extraordinary precision in measurement. And if we look at the plots that went up earlier, when you see these plots of projected accuracies, it's always the Z coupling and sometimes the W coupling which are the smallest. And there's a very good reason for that. They can be measured most precisely because, for example, at a 250 GeV linear collider, the associated production is the dominant production mechanism. And you can actually measure the associated production cross-section without even caring so much what the Higgs decays to. You measure the Z recoil spectrum. And then, so you're measuring in a very model-independent sense the coupling between the Higgs and the Z. And various accuracies have been estimated, and it depends how much model independence you want to have. 2.5% is one number for how well you can measure this. That could be improved with higher statistics, and if you introduce some model dependence, you can get it even lower to say 0.5 or at something like TLEP, even smaller than that. Really accurate measurement. And never say never for the LHC2, because who knows what developments there will be in QCD corrections and things like this. So can a linear collider measure these sorts of corrections? The answer is a resounding yes. Quantitatively, what are they? So here on the y-axis, I'm plotting corrections at the in percent to the associated production cross-section, which is what I just discussed. Along here, along the x-axis, the mass of these extra top partners that I've integrated out. For the moment, I've assumed that they're just singlets. And using this relationship between what the coupling needs to be to cancel quadratic divergences, we can calculate precisely what these corrections will be, and that's in these lines here. It depends on the number of top partners. So that's for one top partner here and six top partners here, and it increases in this direction. And these dotted lines give you those sort of projected accuracy, so at least 2.5% measurement, so we could definitely measure this, probably, you know, at 0.5% or better. So all of this parameter space could be probed here. And you see these masses are extending out to, you know, in some cases like 600 GeV. You could probe these top partners, even if they're gauge singlets, and sort of fine-tuning measurements say that anything right of this line is about 10%, right of this line about 25%, but it depends on your taste there. So this is very powerful that you could measure this, even for gauge singlet top partners. What if they have electroweak charges? Well, it turns out that even if they have electroweak charges, they like stops, for example, they will go in loops here and in here, and there'll be new corrections. But it turns out that it's actually the wave function correction again, which doesn't care about those electroweak charges, which dominates the overall correction. And that's basically because the top Yukawa is larger than gauge, the electroweak gauge couplings. So those results that I just showed applied to scalar top partners in perturbative scenarios, full stop, even if they have electroweak charges. So I can show exactly the same plot for stops or whatever your top partners might be. And I think I need to conclude now. So there are quite a few known natural theories, SUSY theories, composite, technicolor, extra-dimensional. In some cases, they're under major tension from the LHC. That should really be a question mark rather than a full stop. But you can always push parameters, or maybe compress spectra or change the decays to relieve that tension. And there's no question that the LHC is absolutely required to explore these models. But the weak scale may also be natural in a much more difficult sense when you're searching for particles directly. Flipped SUSY and twin Higgs models, they have singlets or just electroweak charge top partners, and it's worth considering these sorts of models as well. In those sorts of cases, and including these cases, what are the generic predictions? The goal of this work was really to try and distill the Higgs physics in the broad concept of naturalness without having to commit too much to specific models and see if it can be tested. And certainly at a linear collider, perhaps at the LHC, but certainly at a linear collider, it would be possible to really explore this concept of naturalness in a very broad and model-independent way.
Thank you very much, Matthew. And we have one question here. Howie?
Can you go back to that slide where you had the relation that cancels the quadratic divergences?
Yep.
So my one question here is, that cancels the quadratic divergences of the Higgs. So what about the phi sub I themselves? Isn't there?
Oh, yeah, no, so that's a really good question. I don't know. I'd have to sit down for a second. Also, this mock-up theory only works at one loop, and it hasn't even.
No, answered. No, I understand that, but just the phi two-point function itself. Well,
from the Higgs.
From the Higgs. From the Higgs.
There's only one quadratic divergence in the theory.
Sorry?
There's only one quadratic divergence in the theory.
So you're saying that if I calculate the phi two-point function relation, quadratic divergence will be zero as well?
Yeah. Actually, yeah, it will, because this maps on to SUSY, right? So from SUSY, we know at one loop.
SUSY, I can.
Yeah, but this just maps on. So if, say, I choose six of them, then this is just as far as the neutral Higgs coupled to the stops just looks the same.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're saying the phi introduced.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So. Okay, I'll shut up. You need another principle to control the quadratic divergence of the phi, but this theory is a little too simple for that.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
Oh, yeah, for exactly, Higgsinos and for gauge, this is just a top partner. What are the couplings to the Higgs?
No, I understand, but a random top partner, I don't think, cancels quadratic divergences. Obviously, if you...
No, you need to impose this relation.
Sorry?
You need to impose that coupling relation.
Yeah, but I'm surprised that that's... by itself enough?
Well, I mean, it's certainly not enough at two loops.
No, no, even at one loop, I'm not convinced it's enough. We can talk about it. Why?
Yep. Well, then you need to UV complete it. So this is not. Yeah, so I'm not proposing this as a full theory of naturalness, but that's not really the question at hand. The question is, what are the couplings of a Higgs to a top partner look like in any of these theories, and that's what they look like.
Maxime.
Younger. All right. So yeah, I just wanted to comment. So the models he mentioned that generate the structure, they all have a very low cutoff.
Yeah.
So the cutoff is just one loop factor above the mass of the phi particle, right? But because the phi can be in turn a bit heavier than the Higgs, this can raise this cutoff to 5 to 10 TeV, where it's not in obvious contradiction with precision vector weak constraints.
Yeah.
If you want to raise the cutoff above that, then you have to give this partner, you know, QCD charges and cancel those loops by Gaussian space.
Yep. So we calculated this. So this is very relevant for those fine tuning numbers I put in, and we assumed a cutoff of 10 TeV. But that's only really relevant for the fine tuning measure. The corrections to the wave function normalization don't have the cutoff in them.
And we do have time for the last question of the session.
So in this effective theory, you mentioned there's an MW shift induced. Is that to be taken seriously?
No. So
use the W mass measurement as a constraint on
MW isn't shifted?
Is not shifted.
No. So it's the coupling to the Higgs that's shifted. So,
I see.
So you have some term like this, which changes the Higgs wave function renormalization. To canonically normalize the Higgs, you rescale the Higgs here. And that rescales in shows up in here, and you see a change in the coupling between the W and the Higgs. But
sorry,
the statement is
that the value of the coupling G is determined from the W mass. And given that G, the Higgs coupling is shifted with respect to the usual standard model value.
Got it. Thanks.
And before we thank Matthew again, let's thank all the speakers, and particularly Nathaniel for technical assistance. And we reconvene in half an hour.